שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר תלמוד 10 הספירות, הלך ג', אנחנו נמצאים ב...
Hello, we're studying in the study of the 10 ספירות. Part 3, chapter 10, and you may ask questions on the website. Selected questions will be asked here.
Okay. Yes. Let's continue.
So, item 2. Shoresh, neshama, guf are inner vessels, where the more external is worse. Levush and echal are the surrounding kalim, where the most external is more important. Hence, the klipot are between the guf and the levushim, which is the place of the darkness, the worst. The reason for it is that the three inner pchidot have inner light inside them. The worst of the inner light comes out inside the light and ends there. The surrounding light is the opposite. It is known that the outer light is greater. It turns out that the surrounding light that surrounds the inner clothing which clings to the goof is the smaller surrounding light among all of them. Hence, the klipot dwell there in the middle, in a place where there is neither inner light or surrounding light. It is the middle between the inner and surrounding, and that is called the place of darkness. That thing in each and every olam world is the klipa of that world. That olam.
Again,
the reason for it is that the three inner discernments have inner light inside them. The worst of the inner light comes out inside the light and ends there.
Skin with the...
And the surrounding light is the opposite. It is known as the outer ol is greater. It turns out that the surrounding light of the inner clothing, which clings to the goof, is the smaller surrounding light among all of them. Hence, the klipot dwell there in the middle. It is a place where there is neither inner light or surrounding light. It is in the middle between the pnimi and the mekif, the inner and surrounding, and it is called the place of darkness. That thing in each and every olam is the klipa in that olam.
Is that clear? With respect to the lights, we have inner light, on it they're close, a more external light, and on it a more external light. These three lights, nefesh, ruach, neshama, are the inner lights. That's it. Then we have the section of the klipot, and then two external lights, two surrounding lights, because they lack internal inner vessels. The more inner the light, the stronger it is. The more external the surrounding light, the stronger it is. Let's read down below.
Opimi, item 2. This has been explained in detail in Istaklut Pnimit, with which you can understand the rest of Rav's words yourself, and there's no reason to elaborate.
So, let's read again in item 2 the headline of Baal HaSulam.
Item 2, Baal HaSulam's words. Shoref Neshama Guf are the inner Kelim, where the more external is worse.
Is that clear? Questions? Shoresh neshama guf. That's how the inner vessels are called. So shoresh is the innermost, neshama so is the more outer, and guf, the body, is even more outer. The more outer, more external it is, the worse it is.
The vush and the echal are surrounding lights.
Surrounding?
Where the more external is more important.
Because it's for a surrounding light, not for inner light.
Hence, the klipot are between the guf and the levushim.
Where the inner light ends, and when the, where the weakest surrounding light starts, there in the middle, there is a place for the klipa to be. No inner light and no surrounding light. Yes.
What is that place?
What is that place? Wherever neither inner nor surrounding light shine. Speaking from the perspective of the lights, not the vessels. We have different kinds of vessels. There are such vessels on which neither inner light nor surrounding light can shine. Where do they stand? Between inner and surrounding. Why? Because the nature is opposite between inner and surrounding. And that's why they're seemingly in opposition. And in the middle, there's a place of darkness. The place of darkness can be likened to a state where there is no inner light and there's no surrounding light. The place where it, there isn't, that's the place of darkness. The concept of no light is darkness. Meaning, there's no such thing as... I don't have words for it. Darkness is absence of light. It doesn't exist in and of itself. You can also say it about the light, as light excels from darkness. So the darkness here, the place for darkness, the place of klipot, where they can exist, they subsist on darkness. Why do the klipot subsist on darkness? Why? Because the light that we're talking about is the light of bestowal. Either from inner vessels or outer vessels, but it's light of bestowal, it's pleasure from bestowal, it's the greatness of bestowal, it's appreciation of bestowal. And where we lack those discernments of bestowal, there the klipa can exist. Is that clear?
A bit more clear, but still it's not clear how surrounding light doesn't work on those vessels. This place of darkness that...
On what? There's no difference between inner light and surrounding light. It only appears to us that it's surrounding or it's inner. Those are simply just appellations. That's how we call it. It's a light that shines inside the vessel. There's no such thing as something that shines outside the vessel. We speak of it this way, but it's a light that shines inside the vessel. But it's called surrounding light because the vessel is incapable of revealing it in practice in a deep way to connect to it because of lack of screen. And that's why it's called surrounding. But what does it surround? What it sounds? It stands outside the klipa. What does it mean, inside or outside? There's such corporeal depictions. It's all with respect to the sensation of the vessel. So the degrees of the connection to the light are called in this way, inner or surrounding.
If there's a masach on the kli, so it can receive what we define as inner light, or it rejects and then it's surrounding light. But how does the masach have a feeling of darkness?
Um, How can it be that the vessel that has a screen feels darkness? It feels its limitations, its weakness. That is considered darkness for it. Darkness isn't the darkness of light like here. It's the inability to bestow which is called light.
No. Ken Masha Masuf.
Yes.
In relation to the partsuf and the entrance of the light, so there's below the parsa, that's the place of darkness?
Darkness in spirituality is called inability to bestow. And then there are different kinds of darkness. That's it. Meaning where there can be adhesion and there isn't, because I can feel the next degrees. I don't feel coarseness that hasn't been revealed yet. Rather, in what was revealed, I feel where am I? And in what relationships towards the Creator I'm in. If I can bestow, that's for me considered light. If I can't bestow, that's for me darkness. I can bestow in a certain way and I advance and so on. Then there's this gradient, there's a gradation of, yeah. And there's this gradation of light and darkness. Various kinds of, you know, gray in the middle, let's say.
What he writes here, so if I take the partsuf, let's say Galgalta.
Here he explains about the partsufim that are in Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction, after the shadowing, in the world of Atzilut, where the vessels are undergoing a process of correction. And the process of correction is a gradual process. And they come from the shattering, and gradually they advance, and then they're getting advanced in a gradual way. And some of the vessels cannot even enter the true correction, but rather they only have the ability to remain as surrounding vessels for the surrounding light. Meaning they're not working according to their intensity, but reluctantly they support, they help. They don't work the way they are. But in that, they move the correction forward a great deal. For example, like in our world, when you take a little child and you play with him, of course, for him, this is the real work. And for you, it's supported. You're doing it, you know, reluctantly, with little force. I don't know, I don't have words.
To try and understand that from the inner, they go outer, and it becomes darker, you can somewhat understand it. Why beyond that point of the klipot, suddenly the surrounding becomes more important the further it is away? I couldn't understand that.
With surrounding lights, the more external, the more outer is more important. The more surrounding it is, the more important it is.
How can that be? That's what I don't understand.
Because it's opposite to the inner light, even just from that. What does it mean that the surrounding is more outer? It's the surrounding of Bchina Dalet. If it's more inner, it's Bchina Gimel. Then you have the inner lights, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. So between Neshama and the surrounding, that outer surrounding light, you have a place of darkness. were neither inner and neither surrounding, nor the surrounding light shine. Of course, the inner light doesn't shine there. The inner vessel is complete. And the surrounding light doesn't shine yet because it doesn't belong to that area. You can say, where do we have such vessels that are called klipot, the shells? We will scrutinize them. But if we will have such vessels, that would be the place for them. Because other than that, there is no place for darkness, only between inner and surrounding light.
Can we get some explanation on what surrounding means?
No, I'm not even interested in giving any explanation more than Baal Sulam. You see in what way he's going over it. In general, clear, and we move on.
Item 3, words of the Ari. When the Partsufim of Akinabia clothe each other, they only clothe three Pchinot. Shorosh, Neshama, and Guf in it are cleaved together. And the 10 Sfirot of the Gufot do not close on the Eser Sfirot of the Levushim. Indeed, once we have clarified the matter in detail, we shall speak in general. It is known that in the internality of Ak is Ein Sof. It clothes in the Shorosh of the Neshamot of the 10 Sfirot in it, while these clothe in Bchina of the Neshamot of the entire 10 Sfirot in it, which then clothe the 10 Sfirot of the Guf of Ak. It would have been appropriate for the 10 Sfirot of the Gufim to clothe in the 10 Sfirot of the Levushim. However, it is not for the above reason, though the three Pchinot Atik Da'atzilut surrounding these three Pchinot of Ak.
What does he want to tell us? That the vessels in which we have Shorosh Neshama Guf of the upper Partsuf, those vessels are inside the Shorosh Neshama and Guf of the lower Partsuf. Each lower one clothed on top of the upper one. The upper one is more inner, and it doesn't clothe on its surrounding vessels of it, but rather on its inner vessels. That's how the connection is formed. Keter Chochma Bina, in which lights clothe, the lights Nefesh Ruach Neshama clothe, those are inner vessels. Zeran Pin and Malchut, there are no true lights in them, because the second restriction isn't cancelled. There's only a chap of ascent. That's why Zerampi and Malchut, those vessels are not real vessels, and the surrounding lights hence clothe in them. That's the Partsuf. Now there are two Partsufim, upper one and a lower one. In the upper one, there's Shoresh Neshama Guf of the upper Partsuf, and on it clothe Shorosh Neshama Guf of the lower Partsuf. That's how they're connected. And Levush and Eichal are separate, both for the upper one and for the lower one. Next. It's good that you to hear it. You know, we're not learning why and how and the connections between them. It's given us a certain depiction, illustration, and he moves on. Slowly, over the course of the study, it will be stabilized, but not by much. There are such things in the wisdom of Kabbalah that are simply remain without explanation. Why? They want to bring us to the goal. And along the way, we'll attain whatever is needed. And of course, in attaining the goal, everything will become clear. But not that we will learn such things that are not directly required for our spiritual work. Therefore, there are many things in the wisdom of Kabbalah that are simply blank st- stains, spots. It's unclear, not understood. They say a few words, sometimes not even that, because the whole study is only for the sake of the correction of men, and not to tell you stories about what's happening in the upper world. Next.
For the words of the Ari, Shoresh, Neshama, and Guf De'ak are clothed inside Shoresh, Neshama, and Guf De'ak, De'atik, De'atzilut. Shoresh, Neshama, Guf, De'atik, De'atzilut are clothed in Shoresh, Neshama, Guf of Arich Anpin, De'atzilut. And Shoresh, Neshama, Guf of Arich Anpin are clothed in Abba, etc. similarly. How so? The 10 Sefirot of the Gufot of Ak clothed inside the 10 Sefirot of the roots of the souls, the 10 Sefirot of Atik of Atzilut. These, in turn, clothe the 10 Sefirot of the Bchinot of the Neshamot of Atik of Atzilut. And these clothe the 10 Sefirot, the Gufot, the Atik, the Atzilut. Similarly, the Bchinot of the Shoroshim and Neshamot and Gufim, the Arich Anpin, clothe the Gufot, the Atik. Similarly, the three Bchinot, the Abba, clothe Arich Anpin, and the three Bchinot, the Ima to Abba, the three Bchinot, the Zer Anpin to Ima, and the three Bchinot of Nukva to Zer Anpin. This completes all the Bchinot of the Gufot until Nukba the Zer Anpin.
As we discussed, Shoresh Neshama Guf of the upper Partsuf, on it clothed Shoresh Neshama Guf of the lower Partsuf. And that's how it is. Only on the inner parts. The inner parts clothe one on top of the other.
Item 5, words of the Ari. Ak and Abia are intermingled. There are Ak and Abia in Ak, Ak and Abia in Atzilut, Ak and Abia in Bria, in Yetzira, and in Asiya. Arich Anpin is the part of Ak that is unattainable. Abba is Atzilut. Ima is Bria. Zer Anpin Yetzira. Enukba Asiya. Neshamot extended from Atzilut, Ruchot from Bria, Malachim, angels from Yetzira, and Ofanim from Asiya. Know that Olam Atzilut consists of the four Olamot Abiyah. Bria consists of the entire Abiyah. And so do Yetzira and Asiya. Thus, Abba Atzilut and Ima Bria, Zer Anpin Yetzira, and Nukba Asiya. Bchinat Arich Anpin is not apparent in any Olam, since it is very concealed. Thus, from Olam Atzilut, Neshamot. From Bria, Holy Ruchim. From Yetzira, Malachim. And from Asiya, Ofanim.
Questions?
About everything we learn about right now, it's not clothing in my head, not even in my imagination. I can't. Nothing. And you said before that if we listen, I don't understand what to listen is, because it's not clothing in anything. I can't even listen.
Are you here during the Zohar lessons sometimes?
Sometimes.
Okay. You know how we study the Zohar. We expect the reforming light. That's it. Just like that rooster that awaits the light. And the light, when the light, that light comes, the day will come. That's what it expects. That's how it is. You think that here it's written for the intellect? Not at all. It's written for the emotion that would develop through the efforts that you invest in it, and the corrected effort, the corrected emotion, in it you will feel, just like you feel the world, and that's why you can study it. If you wouldn't feel the world, you wouldn't be able to study. So everything begins with vessels of feeling. Even the smartest sages that think they're so dry, only science, only numbers. No, it's all inside the vessels, inside the desires. The desire is a feeling.
And still there's a yearning to understand it.
So that yearning to understand, you should calm it down. It's not the correct yearning. You won't be able to understand with your beastly intellect anything of the spiritual world. You need to build vessels in them to feel the spiritual world, and after that, to the extent that you feel them, you can use them to analyze, to synthesize, meaning take things apart, put things together, all those qualities and all those actions, and accordingly you'll be able to scrutinize where you are.
So, in some kind of yearning, can I ask for it to open or something, or think of all of us together? Or
that's truly the true intention, the correct intention one should have during the study. When will I reach the state, my inner correction, where I would feel what I'm studying, and then from that I will connect to it, I will investigate it, and it will raise me higher and higher. Only like this, through the feeling.
Thank you.
Our vessels are like that. What can you do?
As opposed to the Zohar, that there's nothing to get confused about. We just disconnect our brain. It's like poetry. You're just like demanding and praying and getting into the book.
I wouldn't say that we need to disconnect the intellect, the reason, but that's how you're aimed, maybe.
I'm giving it in such an extreme way, because here you do need
only. And what will you get out of it?
I'm asking how to connect it, because I can't, during the time we're studying, to connect it. It's either this or that.
That's the whole problem. You've learned Gemara a little bit? Okay, you can study it mentally, intellectually, as it's written, and then you enter into philosophies and you compare the pages and what's happening here and there and so on, and all the Gemara is like one thing, and you know, it's all intellect. And there are those who study the Gemara in a truly different way, where it's all about the emotion and the man's desire, and you don't have still vegetative, animate, and speaking, but only in our innermost desires. And we talk about the discernments inside a person, and then the Gemara, there's nothing more you can hope for. If you learn it in this way, it can open to you even more than what Tess does and Zohar. That's how it is. It depends on how you study it.
So what's the advice to being like a two-way stream, brain and feeling and prayer and
feeling first, emotion first, the correction of the vessels. And before I receive in my vessels what I learn in the correct way, somehow I have nothing to work with. You need to first put it into the memory, you know, into something.
But then you ask, after we read something, you ask, is it clear? You understand? And I was only an attempt to come in with my emotion, so nothing's understood, nothing.
No. The heart understands only from within the feeling. Compare those discernments, and from that, you need to arrive at certain emotional conclusions, and you'll understand why they're there. The intellect, the reason, comes in order to criticize, to measure, to compare emotions. You yourself, you don't grasp such things. Sometimes you see something, yes, yes, no, no. Then you enter into it with your emotions, and you begin to see all the things. They begin to give you such an emotional reaction, such states and other states, and you compare them, and you feel them. They become part of you. Because you built this simulation of them inside of you. That's how we need to study. Otherwise, the wisdom of Kabbalah will remain something external.
We're an inner light of item 3. It relates to the words of the Ari from the Neshamot or from Atzilut. Neshamot or Pchinat Olam Abriya. Ruchin or Olam Yetzira. Nefashot or Pchinat Olam Asiya. That is the meaning of the Rav's words from Olam Atzilut, Neshamot, meaning Neshamot and Briya, are poured from Olam Atzilut to Briya. From Briya, Holy Ruchin, meaning the Ruchin and Yetzira, are poured there from Olam Abriya. It is so because the neshamot are poured to the righteous that stand in Bria, from the zivugzon de atzilut. From zivugzon of Bria, the ruchin are poured to standing in Yetzira.
That's how he settles the words of the Ari for us that were not so clear. Next.
6, the words of the Ari. Adam consists of nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. From the 4 olamot abiyah. Each of their bchinot contains nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya. Neshama, the nefesh, is more important than the or of nefesh of ruach. Adam consists of 4 olamot. It has but nefesh da'asiya, and then sins, flaws it, and pours it into the klipot. It is told, Gant comes before you, because the Gant did not do anything to enter the klipa. If it did not sin, it is considered to be an ofanim, and sometimes it's only prenat nefesh. It is more important than it has ruach, since he who has neshama in the nefesh, it is known that each and every olam consists of 4. This Adam, because when it began to illuminate and correct it bit by bit, b'chinat neshama and ruach of Yetzirah shines in him immediately, though it has not clothed in him entirely. It is so because it is impossible to clothe in it entirely before he completely corrects his nefesh. Indeed, this man who has ruach inside, who is prinat nefesh ruach, the etzira, is certainly worse than this above prina.
What are you looking at? This doesn't make sense. You have something below? If we don't, read it again, maybe. Please. So below.
Item 4, inner light, relates to the words of the Ari. Bchinat nefesh is important than wherever there is ruach. This is a rule. The nefesh of a degree is regarded as ruach of its lower degree. Likewise, ruach of the upper degree is regarded as neshama of its lower degree. And neshama of the upper degree is chaya of the lower. And chaya of the upper is regarded as yechida to its lower. You can therefore understand that nefesh the ruach is regarded as ruach of the degree of nefesh. Similarly, ruach de ruach is regarded as neshama to the degree of nefesh, etc. The Rav writes, sometimes it will have no more than p'chinat nefesh. However, it would be more important than he who has ruach. He wishes to say that he who has nefesh de ruach is more important than he who has nefesh deruach. It is so because neshama de nefesh is equal to ruach deruach, but more important than nefesh deruach.
מה הכוונה בחשוב יותר?
What does it mean more important?
I would say a greater number of discernments.
בסדר?
Okay. What are you looking at me like that?
He actually explains it very nice, how also the Batsufim, also the Olamot, there's the clothing, and with it, there's the degrees too. So what's the difference between clothing, a degree, to a degree? Because it's confusing that...
He wants to say the following. That's what I think. First of all, everything comes from above. It cascades down through all the degrees. Just as we learn, you have in the Keter light of Nefesh, then you have an additional light of Ruach in Keter, and the light of Nefesh goes down to Chochmah. So it works out in such a way that every time Na'al Chai enters the Keter, those lights also descend below. And the light that is above includes in it all the lights below. Now, with respect to the number of discernments, he says the following. If you have the light that is in the lower degree, can it be more important than the light that is in a higher degree? It's a question. Because in the lower degree, it's a light that has many discernments. It's a neshama of nefesh. So there are great discernments there. Whereas in a higher degree, there'll be ruach or even nefesh in its own degree. There's a saying, it's better to be a living mouse than a dead king. It all depends on how the vessel is activated. To understand, let's say clothing. Clothing is a form of connection between two potsufim, right? Rav, that also belongs to the connection, communication between the potsufim. Because if you want to understand the upper one, then you have to have a corresponding number of discernments on your level in order to attain the upper. And if we take the law of the collective and the individual are equal, sometimes we explain it like resolution. Rav, correct. So what's more important here and less important here? Rav, let's say in the upper one, if you measure in meters, then in the lower one you measure in millimeters. So you have a greater number of discernments. But the quality of discernment is the same, but the quantity, meaning its coarseness corresponding to itlapshut, clothing? No. Rav, the number of discernments is what's important. Most important is the number of discernments. We'll talk about it. Next. Item 7 in the words of the Ari. Item 7. It is possible to merit Nefesh of Atzilut and even higher. The one who merits Ruach of Yesod of Atzilut will be the husband of the Shechina. 7. A man may also have Nefesh of Atzilut and also higher. If he has Ruach from Bchinat Yesod of Atzilut, he will be the husband of the Matronita, the mistress, and he will be called the man of God. Rav, because Malchut is called Nefesh, and above Malchut is Zeranpin, which is Ruach, and then Zeranpin towards Malchut is Bala, her husband. Explain to me, why did Baal HaSulam think it's important to introduce this thing here? What does it give us? We don't know. There's truly no... There isn't one redundant or unnecessary item here. However, that's how it is. We don't understand it yet. I definitely wouldn't write it here. As far as I'm concerned, it's... What good can it be? Next.
Item 8, the words of the Ari. Havaya, filling of Ab, is the Yesod Havaya, namely Atzilut. With the filling of Sag, is the first Hay of Havaya, namely Bria. With the filling of Ma, it is Vav de Havaya, namely Yetzira. And with filling of Bon, it is the lower Hay de Havaya, namely Asiya. Four otiyot of Havaya and the four olamot of Atzilut Bria Yetzira Asiya. Yudin Atzilut, the name of Ab the Yudin. For in the wisdom hath thou made them all. He is Bria, the name Sag, for Ima nests in Kul Saya. Vav in Yetzira, the name of Ma, for six Sfirot nest in Yetzira. Lower Hay in Asiya, the name Bon, for Malchut nests of Ofan. Hay inner light. There are four fillings, Yud Hay, Vav Hay. One filling of Yudin, Yud Hay, Vav Hay, in Gematria's Ab. Two, the filling of Yudin, Yud, and Aleph, Yud He, Vav He, in Gematria Sag, 63. Filling of Alephin, Yud He, Vav He, in Gematria Ma, 45. Filling of Hain, in Gematria Bon, 52. Filling of Ab implies Chokhmah, which is Yud of Havaya. Filling of Sag implies Bina, which is Hey de Havaya. Filling of Ma implies Zeranpin, which is Vav de Havaya. And filling of Bon, Malchut, which is the lower Hey de Havaya.
Okay, is that clear? Questions? What? Okay.
I understand that the lower one of the higher degree is the upper of the lower degree.
Let's say.
But when the reader reads, it's hard to follow it. My question is if it's enough what I absorb, or should I sit at home and go over it again, see what's upper, what's lower?
What else do you have to do at home? Tell me. You're retired. And sit and go over it.
Chapter 11 explains the Hitpashtut of Ein Sof to make the Kelim and four Pchinot of Aviyut by picturing the organs of Adam, which are Einaim, Ozen, Chotem, Peh. The more pure is the more important. And the Enaim are Pchina Aleph, Ozen Pchina Bet, Chotem Pchina Gimel, Pe Pchina Dalet contains eight issues.
After all the definitions of physiology, biology, botany, geology, physics, doesn't matter what. Everything we have to describe our world and define it through various types of vessels. Behind that, we only have 10 sfirot, and that's why What he's trying to tell us in general in this part is how, just like the name of this section, Or Yashar and Or Chozer, direct light and reflected light. How this part, direct light and reflected light, of course they come out of the screen, how they build this vast, rich reality that is seemingly before us. It's all inside of us, inside our will to receive. So when we go over all the discernments that he's calling them, using different names, different words, different definitions of this world, nevertheless, it's good to connect them to one rule, ten sefirot. Then we won't be confused, everything will be simple, we will know what is their origin, their source, and gradually it would assume the correct form, that there is nothing more than ten sefirot. We'll begin to see it. Let's go.
1. There is no form of the description and attainment of Ein Sof whatsoever, and in order to create the Olam, he drew many expansions to be the roots and origins of Olam Atzilut. 2. There are four rudiments in everything, which are the four letters of Yud Hei Vav Hei, which are Reya, Shmiya, Reach, Dibur, which are Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh. They are Einaim, Ozen, Chotem, Pe. 3. There is Hevel and Ruach and Achab, which each is more multiple. In Ozen, there is a little Hevel. In Chotem, it is stronger. And the Pe, it is most of all. 4. The Oznaim are Bina, which is Bchina Bet, who has little of Yut, and she is Neshama. The Chotem is Ranvin, which is the more of Bchina Gimel, and he is Ruach. Pe is Malchut, of Yut, the Bchina Dalet, and the most of, she is Or Nefesh. 5. Reya is the light of Chaya. There is no actual Hevel in the Inayim as in the Achab. It is the very fine of you, the Bchina Aleph. 6. Hevel in the Inayim is the Kli for the Or Mekif, the Chaya. However, the Or Yashar in it extends downward as Histaklut, which is the Zivug de Aka'a. 7. The Itpashtut of the Or to make Kelim, which is Histaklut, comes from the Enaim, being Or Chochmah, and not from Achab. 8. The three Havalim became Bchinat Kelim to Nefesh Ruach Neshama. There is no form of description and attainment in Ein Sof whatsoever, and in order to create Dolam, he drew many expansions to be Shoroshim and origins Dolam Atzilut. 1. It is known that Ein Sof is completely formless. When he came to think of creation of the Olam by the order of emanation, he began to draw from it the Itpashtut of many Orot to become Shorashim and sources to the Atzilut that would be emanated afterwards.
Number 1 down.
Relates to the words of the Ari, Atzilut started expanding many lights. Itpashtut Orot, expanding lights, as the Rav said, referring to Ein Sof that expanded to make the Kelim by Zivug de Aka'a and raising Or Chozer. He says here that right in Olam Ak, there began a drawing of many lights from it by the above Zivug de Aka'a, enough to emanate 25 Partsufim in that Olam. These 25 Partsufim of Ak would be the shoroshim and the sources of atzilut that will later be emanated, meaning the 25 partsufim would be emanated in olam atzilut. That is why the Rav writes, itpashtut of many lights to become shoroshim and sources of atzilut, as he will explain henceforth.
Okay. Next.
Two. There are four rudiments in everything, which are the four letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, which are Reiga, Shmia, Reach, Dibur, which are Neshama, Chaya, Ruach, Nefesh, which are Einaim, Ozen, Chotem, Peh.
So it doesn't take the discernment of Keter into consideration as the Shorosh.
We shall speak of it in way of parable and allegory. You already know that there are four elements in everything, which are Reya, Shmia, Reach, Dibur. They are the four Otiyot Havaya, and are Neshama to Neshama,
Ochaya,
or Chaya, and Ruach and Nefesh. We shall begin to explain from the degree of Neshama and return to its pre-sending.
Uchaya. What Shevitz? No, no. I have nothing to add. If you have no questions, there's nothing more to... He arranges things here. He puts them in place. He places them in a box, so to speak, so each one will have its place. If it doesn't work out for you, you can ask. For now, that's how it is. Like in a Lego, you have to assemble, collect all those things, all those discernments that are in the 10 sefirot. There's Hevel.
Three, the words of the Ari. There's Hevel and Ruach and Achab, where each is more multiple. In Ozen, there's little Hevel. It is stronger in Chotem, and the most in Peh. Three, the organs of Oznaim certainly have fine Ruach inside them. The proof of it is that when one thoroughly blocks one ear with one's finger, one feels as though there's a great sound inside them. This is because of the Ruach accumulated in it, wishing but unable to come out. Next organ is the degree in the Chotem. The Ruach that comes out of it sensed more than what comes out of Ozen. The next organ is the degree of Peh, for the strongest Hevel and Ruach then all come out of it.
Yes. Next.
Item 2, inner light. Know that this reflected light that is brought back to its place by Zivug Daka, as the Rav says, is called Hevel, that comes out of the Partsuf, or Ruach, that comes out of the Partsuf. It means that it cannot clothe in it, because the power of detainment in the Masach there. For that reason, it must return to its place. You should also know that there are five prinot that contain the entire reality after the Tzimtzum, namely Ak, Atzilut Bria, Yetzira Asiya. There are five levels, one below the other, from Keter to Malchut, produced by the Izdakhut of the Masach. Because the Masach, the Prinat Dalet, that operated in Ak, has been purified and remained in Avyut, the Prina Gimel. The new Eser Sfirot were emanated of Chochmah, called Atzilut, because the Masach, the Prina Gimel, was then purified as well, and remained in Avyut, the Prina Bet. The new Ten Sfirot were generated in the level of Bina, called Bria. Finally, the entire Avyut was purified from the Masach, and only the Shorosh remained, where there is no Aka'ah and no level of Ol Chozer. Consequently, the Ten Sfirot emerged here only in Bchinat Malchut, and they are called Olam Asiya. For the very same reason and cause that was explained regarding the four general levels, which are Ak and Abia, the five levels of the ten Sfirot was therefore emerge in each and every Olam too. They are called five Partsufim, Arich Anpin, Abba, Ima, Zer Anpin, and Nukba. Moreover, in each and every Partsuf, there must also emerge five levels of ten Sfirot, one below the other, down to Malchut, called Galgalta, Enaim, Ozen, Chotem Peh, or Kachab, Zer Anpin, and Malchut, or Neran Chai. This matter will be explained sufficiently in Istaklut Pnimit here, for we should not elaborate here because of its length. The Rav wrote here, oh, this belongs to number four.
It belongs to the next part. But you can read it now. Questions? Morris, give us a blessing.
We can miss out on it. Good morning, Rav, friends, and Kli Olami. We had this workshop, wake up here in the workshop. I'm still holding this from Passover about Pharaoh and the Creator. And I have all kinds of thoughts that I want to hear from you. What's the relation between the Sfirot and what you guided us in Passover when we studied about Pharaoh and the Creator is the opposite of it? Come with me to Pharaoh. What are the relation between the Sfirot and Pharaoh and the Creator?
All those desires that a person still cannot correct, and you cannot restrict them, they rule over him. This is the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Egypt is all of this world. This whole world is Egypt. All those discernments that we can correct in order to bestow, it's the Creator and the land of Israel. Depends on the degrees we're talking about, the kind of scrutiny we're talking about. That's it. But the upper light that is working above all those discernments, called I've created the evil inclination, which is above all those things, it also organizes the relationships inside a person between the Creator and Pharaoh. Who's more important? Who's first? And so on. That's how we need to treat it. So our attitude towards Pharaoh, it shouldn't be some disregard, some disdain, like a puppet who's down there in Egypt. Rather, we're talking about the most serious forces of nature, not geography or history or anything else. Rather, here and now we are integrated of two forces. We have nothing more than Pharaoh and the Creator. He created them once against the other. And we have to work with that. And to constantly be in constant appreciation towards Pharaoh, to learn from him just how he's carrying out precisely the correct process of the purpose of creation. Without him, we would not be able to advance one bit. He's bringing us closer to our Father in the heavens. Who pushed Israel to come out of Egypt? Pharaoh. Who's pushing them through all the this entire process towards the end of correction? Pharaoh. Why do we need in each and every mitzvah, each and every correction, to say this is in memory of the Exodus from Egypt? Because it's all coming to us from the vessels of Pharaoh. He is the loyal servant.
In my feeling, I see the Sfira of Chochmah as Pharaoh, as the thing that has to help us grow. And the edit.
No, Sfira is not Pharaoh. Sfira is a will to receive after the correction, has a screen and reflected light, and it has an inner light and a surrounding light. This is a Sfira. It cannot be from the corrupt vessels.
But always the left helps us grow, right? When a new desire comes, it's always from the left, from the Chochmah.
Yes.
So still I can't connect between Shosh and Chochmah in this process.
We'll learn about it. We're going to the next...
We'll go to the next part of the lesson and we'll sing a song first.
הבחירה היא בידיך, ואין כאן את מי להאשים. אם הוא נסתר עוד מעיניך, אז בוא תבחר בחברים. כל הניסיונות להתגבר יצליחו רק עם החבר שיכוון אותך אל המקום הטוב. אז בוא נבחר בלאום. הבחירה היא בידיך, אפילו אם לא תמיד רואים. רק תבחר עכשיו את החבר הטוב, הרי בחרת בחיים. כל הניסיונות להתגבר יצליחו רק עם החבר שיכוון אותך אל המקום הטוב. La 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 שיחבן אותך